Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
From the towering G2B Inferno. What the hell's that? Sitting on the lake, hanging heavy, black, pendulously over the city of Racine.
Nice tits, Rob.
Guys, Gaines, and Bear! Woo! Yeah! God damn, what a good day. Man. I am ready.
Well, that's because we have a nice new beer to try out tonight, Rob.
What? What do you say it's time for?
A new beer
it's
to be
time
judged.
For. Beer court!
Beer court! Bum
bum bum bum. What's that for?
It's like Dickwold.
I am called the Dickwold.
Alright, so.
So, Lakefront Ale has agreed to drop its court case and have it. God damn it. Have all their personal problems resolved here in our forum. It's the Supreme Court of Beer. It's Guys, Games, and Beer. Beer Court! Yeah!
Yeah! All right. So, tonight we're trying something new from our buddies over at Lakefront Brewery. As you all know, we are big, big fans of Lakefront Brewery. I can't think of anything we've ever reviewed on theirs that even got a mixed review.
Some of the fall seasonal.
But overall, they have a very good repertoire.
No, wait a minute.
I was just going to say there is one.
The gluten-free does not do well here.
New Grist is amazing. You just can't drink it like a beer. It's a champagne.
We had this discussion again, but even that one did not do as bad as some of the gluten-frees we've actually tested. So what we're trying to start is their new one. It's a seasonal called Smash Ale.
Really new.
Single malt, single hop ale. It's done with Vienna malt and Willamette hops. And that's it. It is a really simple ingredient ale.
This is brewed in Milwaukee, but you can get it in most of the United States, actually. They sell in over half the country, and a lot of countries outside of the U.S., including Israel,
yeah.
Which is pretty weird.
Yeah, if you have not tried stuff from Lakefront Brewery, you definitely should have done.
Yeah, I went down to South Carolina, first time I was hanging out there, and like I walked into the first bar I had, they had friggin' Fix Gear there.
What?
That's a kosher key.
Yeah,
they also are a kosher
brewer. Yeah, I was about to ask that. It's like, no, they sell to Israel.
They are a kosher, right. That's why the kosher key.
There's a tiny little kosher star.
Because they do sell in Israel.
Kosher beer. So, yeah, that's why they have it in Israel. So, but yeah, no, very delicious beer overall. So, we'll give this one a try.
With a star?
Jumping ahead.
Not that star.
Oh.
Ooh, okay.
Uh-oh.
It's a little peppery.
Now it's tinny.
Mine isn't.
Here, try that one. Make sure.
Might be a bad batch.
No, it could be.
That one's not a good bottle.
All right.
Try this instead.
Yeah, there's something.
It is a little peppery.
Okay, because that one, there's something wrong with that bottle.
All right. This is a...
Ooh, that was nasty.
Lakefront Brewery, come on. Quality control.
Hey, I mean...
Okay, that's better.
5 out of 6.
Luckily it was only one beer and not the whole six pack.
Yeah, no.
Well, but I gotta be honest.
I don't know if this one's...
I'm winning over here.
You don't have to be honest. I mean...
I go, they're the greatest. Send us money.
Dude, it's really nasty. I would not drink that.
I don't know if mine's nasty or
good.
Not.
I need to try that.
It's a pretty... It's very straightforward. There's nothing really special.
That one's bad.
There's nothing really special about it, but I mean, it's everything that an ale should be.
Yeah, I agree. It's a solid ale. Okay. It is a single malt ale. It's got a very simple flavor profile. I mean
there's no aftertaste.
There's the bitter, and that's it. And the bitter doesn't even linger that much.
It's a good bourbon beer.
Yeah. This would be like, I don't know, if I time travel back to the 60s and like I only had...
Schlitz.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. It's like a fancy Schlitz.
Remember,
most of the beers around then would have been lagers, pills.
You know? Yeah.
Try this one.
Oh.
I don't know if this one's bad.
All right, I'm going to go middle of the road.
Hold on, I'm going to try that.
I want to like it, but I mean,
no, yours is bad too.
There's other stuff I like.
What? Maybe it's not
that those particular ones are bad. It's
just not a great beer.
Because I gotta tell you, I'm going with it's not a great beer.
I'm gonna go middle of the road.
Dude, sorry, Lakefront.
Middle of the road? Oh.
It's wavering.
Yeah, it's a wavering because the quality control thing, just like maybe, I don't know, in transit or whatever. But
yeah, no, like, no. Two out of six is not good quality control. All right.
That's harsh.
Mel's giving us crap about doing a mixed review on a...
Not our fault.
It's a very mediocre beer.
It's a mediocre beer and two shitty bottles.
I'm
with Rob. That was a good burp, so I'm giving it. It's not a waiver anymore. It's a solid middle.
Yeah, it's very.
That's a solid burp.
It's very
carbonated. Beer.
It's very carbonated for an ale.
But yeah, again, if you want a good Lakefront brewer, you got Fixed Gear Still, you got Eastside Dark,
yeah.
You got
River West Stein. Not my favorite Lakefront.
Yeah, go with the Stein. That's way better.
Or Fixed Gear. Fixed Gear is fucking delicious.
New Grist is also delicious. It's excellent lunch beer.
All right,
so Lakefront, you can put
order
this back
in
the
order in the cart!
Decorum!
All right, so in the case of the People versus Lakefront Smash Ale, we find for nobody. Nobody wins in this particular case.
Especially if you're drinking.
I'm throwing it out due to blandness and not being really bad, not being really good.
Oh, wait.
Having two duds in a six pack.
Try that one and tell me before you tell me.
Hold on. Let's just make sure all of them aren't duds.
Oh, you're guilty of ass. You are hereby found guilty.
This is what the beer tastes like.
Yeah. You are hereby found guilty of being ass.
All right.
I sentence you to drinking.
All right. Okay, so.
So today we've got some special guests with us, and with us is...
The Village of Ballies. I am Matt Moriello, the project manager, programmer, and general doer of things.
The general doer of things?
I'm Jacob Clayman, lead designer on Tumbleweed Express.
And
tumbleweed?
No,
it's not a tumbleweed. Okay,
we just had to clear.
But it's our local guy who never plays the game that we're talking about.
Weed, not weed.
He sits there and stares at like three screenshots and goes, "Huh."
It's like a beauty salon.
They're just doing this.
That might be a good idea for your next game.
Yeah, there you go. You can do the Tumbleweave Express on the next game.
Boom. You're welcome.
And we're talking about the Tumbleweed Express.
By Digiballers.
By the Dirigiballers.
Dirigiballers.
You just said Digiballers.
I did say Digi.
We are having... Oh, by the way...
We've been drinking all day.
For those of you who have not seen it, we actually did talk to you guys much earlier, like a couple years back, right?
Yes, yeah, 2 years ago. We met you at the Boston Festival of Indie Games to do an interview.
We were smashed during that.
Some of us don't remember.
I don't think we were smashed when we did that interview.
I think
we were pretty sober when we did their interview.
It was a dry convention, actually. You guys had to sneak our first
Oh, yeah, that was when we did that. Got us at the door.
Yeah. The cops stopped us at the door.
There's a will, there's a way.
It would have been dry if we had our way.
You'd make it so
yeah,
away.
It's funny because the year before that we actually had beer on the floor.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yep. That
we handed it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
We checked IDs.
Oh, I thought you meant you spilled it.
We probably did.
All right. Well,
all over the floor.
So let's talk about the game.
And the changes and the
big. So we actually saw this game 2 years ago at BFIG, and you were basically still in development then.
Yes.
And we just saw so much about it that we liked. And
yeah, it was still pretty early.
Just in case you haven't seen, what's the general description of the game?
Let them do the general description.
I mean, you like to go with the simplest description, which is trains with guns in the Wild West. So, I mean, that's pretty much the game in a nutshell.
Okay.
Kind of tower defense, but with a whole lot more going on.
It is almost reverse tower defense, except it's also a rail shooter.
Thank you, reverse.
And there's also some management in it as well.
Right.
I mean, there's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, there really is a whole bunch thrown in.
Actually, I'm trying to remember. The only thing I can think of that was anywhere near it, and it wasn't the same, was Trans-Siberia on the Amiga.
That might be pretty close, actually, as far as with some of the similarities.
Yeah, Trans-Siberia was it was a train game, and you did have turrets, and you would basically travel from town to town trying to stay the hell alive, and it's pretty similar to this. I'm losing it.
You are losing it.
The current product.
Yeah.
The Stumbleweed Express.
Did you say Stumbleweed?
No, he said Tumbleweed.
He said Stumbleweed.
All of you guys.
Stumbleweed Express.
No, I was looking for a word to explain it. I was going to say grind, but grind has kind of a bad connotation. But there is, you replay levels because there's a... Because now they've added this mechanic where, as you gain new weapons and new abilities, you can get more money for doing that same run, but meeting different achievements.
Right.
I was looking for a word other than grind. Like, does anybody have a word other than grind?
It almost kind of like a road warrior with the tank, you know.
It is. There's kind of a road warrior feel.
Things
to
are
it.
Just attacking you, and you're just.
I'm gonna start with the obvious. Now, there's been some graphics enhancements, but they're not like. It's not like a graphics enhancement that you can name. You know what I mean? It's just a clearer look. Have you guys optimized the engine better? Is that what it is? I thought it looked pretty good before, and I liked the art direction, but you look at it now, it's a much more polished product.
Yeah, the night and day difference, actually.
Nice. So the technical term is shaders, which is... basically, the skin of every object in the game has a shader, and a shader determines how light bounces off the object. So how it reflects color, how it inherits color from the light around it, and that goes a huge way to creating a visual profile of the game. And then obviously we have the outline around every single object in the game, which
almost a cell shaded look.
Right, and that's added. By the shader itself, so that's actually a programming feature, the actual outline of an object.
And there's
I don't know if we have the same camera effects going on 2 years ago.
No,
that's true. We also have a lot of post-processing effects, so we've got motion blur, depth of field. Unity, I think 5 is the version that came out that made all the pro features... all the Unity Pro features standard, so we got a lot of polished features for free, and that includes post processing.
It makes a big difference. Again, if you compare it to what we saw a couple of years ago,
I thought it looked pretty good then.
It had a really nice feel to it, and it looked good. But the difference is night and day. I mean, it really like you said. Basically, you're doing a cell shading effect on the graphics now, which makes a big difference. Everything looks a little clearer. Again, all the lighting effects, all the other effects that you can do, motion effects and so on, makes a big difference in the game, I think. Not so much in the mechanics of the game, but the look goes a long way.
The mechanics have always just been pretty solid. They've always been pretty well known by the team. We had a pretty good document going about what we wanted to get out of the game. But with every iteration, the look and feel of the game has, you know, really matured. And certainly from 2 years ago, we learned a lot. We've, you know, obviously the advancement of Unity 5 unlocking all these new features was immensely helpful. And that's why we have such a nice looking product right now.
So
even more important than, you know, the way the game looks compared to then and now, like, people actually have accesses now on Greenlight now, so this is a big
deal. It's on Steam.
It's on Steam, yeah.
It's not just on Greenlight.
So this has been kind of a big project you guys have been working for a long time to actually, you know, keep moving and actually keep it to getting into the consumer's hands. Now people can play it. Like, how has that journey been for you guys lately?
Awesome. It's been, I think the day one, like, you know, the night before we, like, launched the game, right, there's always a little bit of apprehension, like, what's going to happen, and I think the response from the player community has been phenomenal. I mean, the reviews are really rewarding, I think, for the whole team. There's, like, bunch of random YouTube videos that are just, you know, awesome people talking about the game, telling us what they like, what they don't like. Some people talking in Russian and French, so, you know, we gotta get other people to, like, translate for us. But
oh my God, Russians love trains.
uh, it's, That's one thing we've learned. Interesting. I like I had a friend of mine who was a French speaker translate like the only French YouTuber that talked about the game, and he went on for about 20 minutes before he even stated his opinion of the game. And then, finally, she was like, oh yeah, he liked it. It was good. I was like, thank you for listening to 20 minutes of French before we got there.
So I do wonder if trains aren't more appealing in like Europe than here, because
right.
Well, hey, ain't getting good press over here.
The trains in general,
not this game. Trains.
No, but we love trains over here.
We used to be the.
We like guns.
We like guns and we like trains.
Yeah, I mean,
and this has guns and trains.
So there you go.
So boom, America.
I have to agree. All
right, so you were about to before.
I was going
to
talk about
an American game. It's all about capitalism and guns.
That's true. You make money.
Yeah. And
by shooting people.
And get better, and you can buy better guns.
And you can buy better guns to kill them more with. Or go faster. I like that. That was a good mechanic too. Yeah.
These are defense weapons. I don't know if they're defending the terrain.
Ah, yes.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. But
defending the terrain.
They're standing their ground.
It's my opinion that pretty much everything must die.
You'll notice we only kill cacti and little bandits.
Yeah.
Mechanical things. Yeah.
And some mines. Some mines get blown up.
Yeah, some mine shafts do. They get destroyed. Yeah.
No miners were killed during the production of this game. They all were let loose before.
They were all 18 or older, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice play! Thank you!
This is not China. All right, I'm done.
You're saying there weren't any... Miners.
Yeah.
Nice.
These are the jokes. All my kids.
All right. All right. I want to talk about the soundtrack. I don't think we did talk about it last time.
No, we did not mention the soundtrack.
Yeah. Who did the soundtrack on this?
So about a year ago, we've been working with a new sound designer who started about a year ago, and he basically wrote the entire soundtrack in six to 8 months or so. Stefan Nettleken is our main sound music designer, and then Sam Miller, who works with him as well, is the sound profiler, so he's the one who's responsible for a lot of the sound effects, and of course, they're kind of like a tag team, so they make sure that all the whole sound profile of the game is, you know, really nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty uniform type of sound. I mean, it's varied, but it has a good, it all fits
cohesive
the same file.
Right.
Yeah, it's cohesive.
Yeah, I mean, considering we're 4 years in, we still didn't really have much of a soundtrack yet. We were a bit nervous. We posted, on our blog looking for someone who's willing to come in and basically do a revenue share with us for, a year on the soundtrack. And yeah, we knocked it out of the park by hiring him. I mean, it's great.
We actually recruited them from MAGFest.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
That's like our game festival, DC. From MAGFest, actually, yeah.
They send us advertising every once in a while.
Yeah.
Guys, James and Beer barely get out of the basement.
The kind of thing, you know, now that there's not, like, so to speak, all the time, like, studios and everything, it's interesting to see how people sort of almost, like, barter and sort of bring in different sort of contracting
for the
models.
Musicians and so on.
Yeah, yes. You know that is different than, you know, it's sort of been, you know.
It actually makes better sense though to offer them some kind of revenue sharing or something along that line, because it does inspire them to do better work as far as audio tracks go, because an audio track can make or kill a game. I mean, we've all played games where the audio track was so horrid that all you do is turn it down and don't bother listening to it, and it does take away from the game.
Yeah, you just turn on Pink Floyd The Wall and you're good.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Well,
exactly.
Like when they changed the soundtrack from, what the hell is the name of that game? It was a racing game, one of the best damn soundtracks there ever was. Oh, Flat Out 2 had one of the best soundtracks there ever was. Just a wonderful soundtrack, and then they ported it over the Xbox 360, and they changed the damn soundtrack.
Yeah.
What the hell were they thinking? It didn't fit anymore.
And as we've talked about before with things like Crazy Taxi, a soundtrack can make a game. A good soundtrack.
Yeah, because you want to listen to Offspring,
I do.
For hours and hours and end.
I do.
And look at advertising for Yum.
Well, and it's
also, I mean, it's a great game. But
it's also important, especially now when you don't have as much like memory limitation and stuff, that it varies. If you're sitting down for a 2-hour session,
yeah,
you guys,
it needs to bounce around a little. So
a little bit. A little bit.
I'll forget it by the end of the
first. But again, the nice thing about the audio track on the new version is, again,
it was the sound effects do leveling and general key wise match what the audio tracks mm-hmm. are. So again, makes a big difference.
I want to talk voice acting too. Who does the old coot? I laugh constantly when he talks. I just laugh my ass off. I don't know why. It just strikes me as amazingly funny.
Because he's an old coot.
Yeah, I think so.
That is the design. And of course, Sneaky Pete is right here yes. with us right now.
That's Come on, great. Let's hear him.
I do the voice of Sneaky Pete.
All right, let's hear it.
It's your old friend, Sneaky Pete. Here. That's him.
That kills me.
That's a beautiful voice.
I know.
Never. We do everything in house, you know. We've probably taken a little bit more flack for the VO than, you know, I think is reasonable from the community, but you know, to be honest, you know, what is it? We got a comment that was like, "Hey, maybe next time you hire some voice actors." And we're like, "Whoa.
No."
Yeah, right? Like we do it ourselves. We do everything in this game more or less other than writing the Unity engine.
That's how we approached it. Yeah. Yeah. Want to do everything ourselves, and everything we can't do ourselves, we recruit new people to our family so that we can continue doing it ourselves.
Like a yeah. cult. If so Harry like, Shearer can do 50 Joker voices, Jim's so can Zena. I.
Who else we got? And Dirigi Boss, those are all just, you know, people, voice actors who are interested in sort of starting out their careers. They need, you know, they need to be involved in projects, and, you know, they donate their time. So,
wow, nice.
You know. That's how a lot of the voice acting got done. So, and actually, again, Sam Miller actually recruited Zenya and Dirigi Boss as, you know, VO people. So that was pretty cool.
I always say, you know, like, it's our game. We wanted to do the voice acting, and so we did it.
You earned it. Like it.
Turn the sound on.
I'm sorry. We liked it.
I think there's a place for camp. You know, there. I thought it really added to the environment.
It does.
I just can't imagine it with a different voice line. What would you do?
We wouldn't have a game. That Sneaky Pete voice, that makes the game. I don't know. I think. I mean, honestly,
right?
I love Sneaky Pete. You know, he's my fan.
Sneaky Pete has been with the Tumbleweed Express since the very beginning. In every way, in game and outside of it.
I mean, Sneaky Pete, Sneaky Pete,
animal.
Zenya, Dirigi Boss, and even the Dirigi Baller's name all came out of, you know, being very drunk on, you know, Game Jam number one way back in the day. We just ran with basically everything, so.
Well, now that goes back to the running with. So, you guys, you've been doing this. Like you said, you're 4 years into this project.
Yeah.
That is a lot of time and a lot of dedication. So you originally started this out. You were you tried to kickstart the project originally.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I want to talk a little about your kickstart experience.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we were doing it all ourselves. We did get some help on like making videos, and we tried to run the best campaign that we could, obviously, but it didn't work out for us. I think we learned a lot if we were going to redo it. I think one of the tips that we sort of knew in advance, but we were running on our own schedule, so was that they say you should recruit at least like 30% of your funding goal, you know, before you actually launch your Kickstarter. And I mean, that's not always possible, but that's probably one thing. If I were doing it again, I'd probably want to do, you know, the second time around. But
wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, so one of the things is you should sort of like market within your community, right? So if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, you know, using your own social networks, you should recruit at least 30% of the capital, you know, at least in promises, basically, right?
Yeah.
That on like okay. day like week one of your Kickstarter, you're going to be able to, you know, get to that 30%. Thus, you'll hopefully, this is just like from Kickstarter's own advice, is that that'll sort of start the ball rolling. The momentum, people will see that there's some confidence in the project.
Priming
you
the tip,
start out
yeah.
With a real attractive
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. But again, we're a small indie, you know, developer, so we can't always, you know, like we do what we can, so. Fortunately, Unity 5 did unlock all of those pro features, so, you know, we didn't end up having to pay that, so that was good.
Let's shoot a question for the peanut gallery, and I think they're talking about VR, because we do a lot of VR stuff on the show.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Looks like a game that would render nicely in 3D. Is there any plans? That's basically, I think she's talking about VR in this particular case, not just 3D graphics.
Well,
what we get asked a lot about a 3D virtual game. Reality, and a while ago we actually had one of our builders had the Oculus, like one of the original Oculus Rift dev kits, and we got a prototype working for Tumbleweed Express for Oculus Rift, but it became basically just too much of a demand. It would require, during development, it became clear that it would require way too much investment.
I mean, essentially,
from members of the team who couldn't like contribute that amount of time to really make like it a fleshed out VR experience.
You could totally throw up.
A lot of it came down to some of the UI, like having to redo the entire UI, to support an Oculus Rift was one challenge. Not to mention, we're a team. At the time, we were probably a team of 10, and we only had one dev kit, so only one person could actually work on it. And those people who could work on it, for example, for me, I got sick within like a minute or two of putting the Oculus on.
That's what makes. That game moves really fast.
Yeah,
I know. I was thinking about how sick you'd probably get
with their game. I can see that being a real issue because their game is like move fast. Yeah, and you're right. It's one thing when you're controlling the movement. It's the other thing when the movement is a set movement, like a roller coaster or a train track, and you're rolling down that at that high speed. Yeah, that's gonna definitely.
I think it would just like be too mind-blowing.
I agree. I think it plays just fine like the way it is.
All right. We already have one negative review on Steam about a guy getting motion sickness.
Without the VR gear? Oh, Jesus.
So imagine, like, you amplify that.
Yeah.
Just make some diamond tests before you play the game.
Cool. It would be cool if we had the dev tools and we had the time to devote to it. I won't say it wouldn't be cool. Because the prototype we had, it was pretty exciting. Like, I'm riding the Tumbleweed Express for real. Like, you would, look down over the side of your train and see the ground going past you.
Did you then, you basically change the primary camera angle?
The way that the Oculus works in Unity, at the time anyways, I don't know, because I've heard they've discontinued support, but it actually just paired with the standard camera, we didn't really have to change much at all with the camera. We might have had to actually, adjust how you switch from, like, first-person to third-person view, because, we didn't really test that. But, they're really, like, the Oculus actual implementation was extremely smooth. It was really just getting all the assets together and figuring out how it was that you were going to, change the motion of the person's head with the mouse orbit script that was basically running on the camera already. So, from the developer's perspective, it didn't seem like it was a lot of work. We all looked at it and, really it was just the re-engineering of the UI at the time, which we didn't really even have a finalized UI for the regular platform yet. So it was a bit premature to start thinking about how to, adopt develop two UIs simultaneously for a feature that we weren't entirely sure we were going to be able to support. So,
and how many were out there?
Yeah,
if you developed it.
I got to tell you right now, though, again, we had this before, Gear VR is like fire right now.
Now that VR is a little bit more matured, it obviously makes it a lot more attractive.
Exactly, and the Gear VR is doing pretty darn well as far as title count goes.
Yeah,
they're over 300 plus.
Yeah, we got our original dev kit. We were one of the, at least the developer who was on the team at the time, he was one of the first like Kickstarter supporters of the Oculus, so he got it that way. So we had a very early version.
Yeah, no, where we are, we literally are big Oculus fans here. We have DK1, DK2, we are running the Gear VRs, we haven't got our commercial versions yet because we're kind of lazy-ass bastards, but we're long-time supporters of the Oculus setup. But I do see you're right. Because of your motion, I can see people really getting
pretty sick.
Pretty quick, yeah.
I want to try it nonetheless,
Interesting side point. You see that Sony is now selling their phones on the VR gear So, like, if you buy a Sony 7...
Yeah. You mean Samsung.
It's Samsung.
Yeah, you get the Gear VR with
it. You get it with it.
Yeah, no, Samsung's figured this thing out. They've got it. It's going great because they figured VR out. So people don't want a big computer. If you can just pop your phone in there and play a game, they're happy. Okay, but back we're going far afield. Okay,
sidebars everywhere.
Getting back down to 4 years of work, the Steam camp. Actually, the Kickstarter campaign. When this is your first big project, when you're first getting into it, it can be a little intimidating. There's a lot involved, a lot of moving parts. With people don't realize how much there is with that. Kickstart. It's not as easy as it looks. You see people all the time throwing crap up on Kickstart. No, there's a lot, they've usually gone through a few incarnations before they get on Kickstart, and then they get on Kickstart.
Even then, it doesn't always succeed.
Well, and that's it. And so let's continue on where we're at. You guys, they wanted you to get into the 30%. It would be nice to know that before you actually got on there. So at the end of the day, you went a different route.
Yeah, in the end of the day, we just decided. Obviously it didn't get funded, but we did get, a lot of, nice feedback from, the people who did fund the project. And we just decided, we're a team that, something happens and we're just like, whatever, we're going to move on and we're going to keep moving forward because, we really love this project. So we just said, whatever, we're just going to do it ourselves and keep on going. So we'll deal with the hurdle, when it came up and, certain things. Part of our Kickstarter was a lot of, at the time, a lot of us were still students. A lot of us were still, we didn't really have all the software we needed, all the tools we needed. We were looking for a budget to help us, access tools. But, 2 years later, a lot of us have jobs and things. And now we can, purchase some tools that we need and, buy features. And, some technological changes enabled us to just keep working. And, if we continue to do as well as we're doing on Steam, there might be some, interesting licensing challenges that come up in the future. But again, we'll cross those bridges when we get there.
Those are good problems to have.
Absolutely.
I was a little worried when the green light system came up. You worry about douchebaggery. I really was worried, but come to find out, the green light community is actually pretty good. People that bother to go out and look at green lights are generally okay people.
Right.
There's a couple DBs, but...
Yeah, the green light users are for the most part, really nice, really scrupulous, really happy to check out and promote projects. And I feel like where Greenlight gets a lot of the bad name is on the developer side.
Oh, yeah. 'Cause
a lot of negative, cheap products try to squeeze through Greenlight. The community does not respond well to that.
Interesting. I think two of the things that I've learned about the Greenlight platform and Steam in general is that one, about half of the projects that get greenlit, only about half actually get released. So most come out as a early access and then never actually hit that full release period, and that is actually a move that gets a lot of flack from the gaming community because the game never... they never deliver on that
perpetual early access.
That was actually a decision that we decided we were not going to do. We were not going to do early access. We wanted to make sure that the product that we delivered on launch day was up to at least our standards.
And it was tempting.
It was tempting. That's true. But we, as a team, we decided not to go the early access route, and we went right for release. So we actually had gotten approved through Greenlight last summer, and we sort of held off on doing anything until we had more chance to develop the game. So it took another year or so to release.
So you're not going to be doing an open world crafting game? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I tell my friends who ask me, hey, can you include this feature? I'm like, we make $1 million, we will guarantee.
No zombie survival, no.
Yeah, there's no zombies.
Double World Z-Express. About zombies.
And trains.
In the wild. Yes.
An open world train system, yeah.
And you'll be able to craft your own caboose.
Right, well, you'll have to play from the caboose, but every once in a while you'll have to grab your shotgun and go clear out your train. No, I don't know. But that would be fun. Yeah, so, obviously the game design, if you go to the ship out screen, you see the way the map works. Obviously, we've left that a little open in case we do decide in the future to add some additional levels. We did have sort of a more open world sort of plan. We'll see how it goes. You know, it really depends on how well things continue to go for us.
All right. Well, Rob, I think we should one more time have them talk about what this is on Steam, and then maybe go on to the next topic.
And we'll link up as well.
You guys, real quick before we
do that. No, not real quick. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You've been at B-Fig. Have you been back to B-Fig?
That was actually our first B-Fig, so I guess not yet, but who knows. Actually, this weekend is our... So we work monthly, basically, as a team. So this weekend coming up is the first time that the entire team will be back together and talking about everything that goes on. And one of the things that we'll be talking about is, future demonstrations and, outings and things that we'll be doing with the game. So, B-Fig was, really awesome for the team, and we'll see how it goes in the future.
Let me explain to people what B-Fig is. It is the Boston Festival of Independent Games. Wait a minute. Yeah,
boobies.
I am actually wearing the shirt tonight. So, for those of you, it is a great independent gaming festival.
And even though they cut off our alcohol, we still like them.
Yeah, we still like them. Even though they stopped, they told us we had to be dry and we couldn't drink while we were there.
Stop us.
No,
we can't drink while we're there, but we can get drunk while we're there.
That's a really nice shirt.
It's all forms of gaming. It has to do with both board games, computer games, card games, they cover everything.
And I gotta tell you, that's one thing I loved about it. It was,
again, they
different levels.
Yeah, again, different... that area, again, it's on MIT's campus. The area for it is just people with really great ideas, and I saw some really great stuff fleshed out there. And it's stuff that, unlike things I've played before. Again, plenty of games. Again, like Tumbleweed Express, like Black Hat, I played for VR, really loved. It basically was a game where it was like one person was wearing the Oculus and another person was like at a keyboard, like a Matrix console operator. So you're like guiding them through like a maze.
Yeah.
And like they can see like first person and you have like your Matrix really operator good. Telling you, oh, there's a guard behind that door. You want to avoid it. Like, it was like the Matrix.
Oh, like you see in so many movies right now where you have
the operator telling you what to do. It was so great. You just see so many great things at Boston Festival India games you don't get to normally try or play. And people flash out some really, really great ideas.
No, I was going with the Shakespeare play. The one that the dude is like, I will talk for you, for the lady.
Cyrano?
Cyrano, that's it! Yeah. Two of us are cultured here. I'm like, oh, this is cultured.
I said Sergio. I mean, yeah, you threw me off completely.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right.
Okay, sidebar.
And then you got any new projects on the horizon?
So, at the moment, no, but as a team, again, we're gonna meet, we're gonna talk, we're gonna see what's going on. I don't think that this will necessarily be the last project from the Dirge Maulers, but it really depends on the team. As like I said, most of us only commit like one weekend a month. Some of us work a little bit more than that, we'll see what's next with the company. Obviously, we try to legitimize ourselves through a company, and hopefully it'll continue on. Yeah.
So, I think you got to do something with a dirigible. I mean, it's almost necessary.
It's such a great name.
I did hijack your name to use in a game called Guns of Icarus because it's a game about battling gunships.
We know them. Yes. Yeah, we met them.
We love those guys.
Yeah.
We did the EGECon in DC.
And then you threw a dirigible?
No, but their name is, you gotta admit, their name is perfect for
it. It's perfect for a clan name in Guns of Icarus. I had to use it.
It was. It really was.
Fair enough.
All right. So besides finding Tumbleweed Express on Steam, where else can people find more information about your game?
Well, we have a website, which is www.dorichaballers.com, obviously. We have a Facebook group. We're on Twitter. It's all basically... Facebook is Tumbleweed Express. Twitter is Dorichaballers. And then...
Dorichaballers page as well.
Yeah, and we also have a pseudo-blog that gets updated sort of randomly. So we also have a blog spot where we talk. We have a little bit of more developer stuff on there. So there's, like, some tutorials and some post-mortems about, like, things. In particular, our what Jake, your post on how not to get funded on Kickstarter.
How to fail at Kickstarter.
Yeah,
so you can check some of our campaign.
You can check that all out. So those are like some of our main social media stuff, and obviously we're sort of going to be definitely supporting all that for the foreseeable future, and we'll see how it goes from there. And obviously, the quickest way to get a response from us right now is through the Steam page, so we're very active on
which we'll, of course, link up to.
Correct. We will have links for all of that on our site and on our Facebook site as well. So if anybody's watching the show and wants to find out, just look there. Great. All right. So, Rob, what is the second topic tonight?
It's going to be take 5 minutes because I need a quick break.
Okay.
Right. Well, so, we are going to take five, but you guys can keep talking. It's all right. I'm going to drag off Tom.
I can start on our topic.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and start on the
topic? Yeah, fucking no. Okay, go ahead.
No, you know what? Run kills the vibe.
You know what?
Larry's got an Afghan that he could knit.
Larry gets really mad when I don't do his intro every 3 weeks.
So.
Okay, it's you. But we'll let it go. We'll let it go without the intro.
So you guys can keep it going.
Keep it going for a few minutes, and we'll be back. We'll be talking about
our favorite indie games that we've been playing lately.
Let's not tell Rob, but everything I make up from this point is just made up. Okay, let's just not tell him.
I know of an indie game that you're supposed to be playing for the reviews department, Larry.
Yeah, I know that game.
Sometimes life gets in the way, right?
So, you better name it.
I'll name it if you want me to.
So, I'd like you to name it. Can you name it?
TikTok Tales.
Ooh.
Or Tick's Tales.
Tick's Tales.
Yeah, I want to say TikTok because TikTok's been ingrained since, you know, you're little. But, you know, clocks and such.
What generally is Tick's Tales about?
But Tick's Tales. It's an 8-bit story adventure.
Okay.
Okay.
So kind of like a la LucasArts point and click, or
yeah, point and click, exactly. You know, you got some stuff in the, and, you know, the prom, and I started playing it. I was super excited about it, to be honest, because I do like these kind of games, but I think the problem may end up to be is that later versions of a similar game have done such a best. The progression is gone, and it's hard to jump back. So,
and okay. Larry likes old things. Larry,
I do. I'm generally the guy that's playing a new game to me
from the
that's 20 years old. You know, and so, you know, I talked about playing a Wolf Among Us.
Okay,
which is essentially a point and click adventure game,
and done very well. Yeah.
But the way the action moves and the story moves, because you're really interested in a story. You want to hear a story. You know, that's kind of what you're doing. You know, you want some interaction with that story. You want a little control into that story. You know, a bit of choose your own adventure. But what ends up happening in older games is that you end up, if you get kind of stuck.
You get kind of pigeonholed.
You start hearing the same dialogue again, and you start hearing it. And that started happening almost immediately in this game.
Choose very specific actions.
I did have to choose very specific action, or I would just get the same, hey, you shouldn't do that. Hey, you shouldn't do that. How about you do this thing over here? And it's like, all right, whatever. I'm kind of done now. You know? I mean, there was, but the upside was, I mean, I did think they had the right sense of humor. You know, it was supposed to be a humorous game. I mean, they have you know, kind of weird looking character. You know, his name is Tick, so you know, That's already kind of weird. And they got this weird grandfather, like this hippie grandfather. Fairy godmother, but okay. a grandfather a version godmother. Of it, you know, and you're like, you know, supposed to choose like, you know, a shovel or, you know, or like an axe, you know, it's like, okay, you know, so there's some funny stuff going on there, okay. but, yeah. and some things happen, and the graphics are, you know, 8-bit style, which, you know, is real hot right now, the retro, the 8-bit graphics. But it's slow. And you know what's funny is now, and it's, I don't think it's bad about this game particularly, it's that you just sort of understand that we've moved on. The I reviewed Gabriel Knight, and that was a game that they had updated graphics and all that, but they'd re-released, and it was from 20 years ago, and it felt from 20 years ago. You know, it was what it was. But this is a new game, so you know, so if you're gonna make a new game that feels old, but you still have to understand that everything we've done in between, as gamers, we've done in between.
Yeah.
So you gotta understand. So you could have an 8-bit graphic that has the flow of a Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
You know where you know you're not going back and
yeah, mechanics. You know. So the mechanics don't feel antiquated. I mean, you've had so much development between there. Again, right. it's hard to find the balance because I mean some people do like those really you know the old school classic action point and click adventures, and they want the very very specific actions and trying to figure out that puzzle for themselves. So again, it's a very tough design choice to make.
It is. And now I've gone back. I've bought the Monkey Island.
Okay.
You know the various monkey.
Yeah.
They've updated them with beautiful.
Oh yeah, the 3D
graphics and stuff like that. And but I play them and it's just like, man, this is so slow. You know,
it's dated.
Yeah, it's dated. And to put a new game out that feels dated seems problematic to me. But you know,
Looking at the screenshots, I see a lot of the writing and the art, and it does look funny. Like you said, they have a pretty good sense of humor, and I think that is pretty. I think that's apparent from their marketing materials. It looks like a clever, funny game, basically. So.
It does, but you know, but maybe the mechanics are drawing away from that.
Right.
So, hey, Rob, I just did the review. No, to be fair, I think I gotta live with it a little more.
Yeah, again, it's a point and click adventure game is not something that you can, it's something you've got to put a Saturday into. You know, it's like it's one of those things you can't just pick up for a few minutes really and play. It's like
yeah,
it's those story driven games like that, and especially those old school adventure games, man. They can take a little time to grow on you.
Yeah, I spent about a half hour on it and stuff, and I was kind of getting, but I do think to give it a more fair review, I probably do need to, you know, give it a Saturday morning, you know, and it's really get into it, you know. It's,
yeah. So for my my break topic, I guess, since we're not really talking about anything that that applies.
Yeah, but that was my topic for later.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm working on moving, so.
Worst thing in the world ever.
Yeah, and I've got a very very pretty sizable game collection.
Well, that's an understatement.
Starting to hey, you've got more crap than I do.
Bullshit.
No,
as you guys are up, are you supplying the table?
No, I'm really. I have a beer. I'm really jealous that find you got this week.
$30.
Was it like one of those Facebook groups? Or?
No. This guy, I bought some Commodore stuff from him before.
Okay, and then he messaged.
And he messaged me. I found more junk in the storage unit.
You lucky.
Would you like it?
Yeah.
It was like $30 for a VIC 20 printer, a giant stack of probably about like 25 NES games.
Yeah.
A stack of about 5 to 10 PlayStation 1 games. And then a bunch of Genesis games.
About 16 Genesis games.
Yeah, and then some other various
stuff. A full PS1.
He got it for $30.
Including the bin that it came in. Those cartridges are actually Atari 400 cartridges.
They They looked the right size.
I didn't see what else is in
there. They're Atari 400 cartridges.
Your picture quality was really cruddy, but I saw...
Sorry about that.
I saw for sure Twisted Metal 2, Legend of Zelda gold cards.
Oh, yeah, I got a gold
Super Mario
and
Bros.
The gold
3.
Carts, and I wish I would have gotten the box, because the cart is
Super
flawless.
Super Mario Brothers 3. There was... What was there? I saw a lot of the Genesis stuff.
Altered Beast, One Boxing. I mean, it's a good collection of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for $30, you can't go wrong.
Exactly. Well, what happened was I wasn't going to go up there, but the guy was really desperate for cash. So I had to shake. Rob, we were drinking last night. It's like, oh, shit. And he's like, I got to go to a funeral. I need some money, blah, blah, blah. Oh, fuck. All right. I'll come up to Milwaukee.
I had to go finish Tom's Bennett.
Yeah, he had to finish my drink, because otherwise I'd be too drunk to drive.
Yeah.
Well, it was okay that I was too drunk.
All right, so where do we leave off at?
I was just talking. Okay, I mean, not really.
We're doing any indie games? Okay, so, all right, well, let's start with.
Are we restarting again?
Start over? We did our deal.
Did you? Oh, well, then we'll do ours.
Maybe they should do theirs.
Well, maybe I guess should do theirs.
Yeah.
What indie game have they been playing?
I think you should ask them.
Spoiler alert, Tumbleweed Express. It's the only game
Wait a minute. It's true. That might be the only game you need, but is there another indie game you've been playing?
Not me in particular.
Okay, so you are only playing Tumbleweed Express.
It takes a lot of work to make
a game. Last indie game I can tell you what, I'm looking at my Steam profile right now. I can tell you what my most played indie game is.
Your most played.
This can be Border Card, though, too. This does not have to be.
Reminding of Isaac, Rebirth.
Nice.
99 hours on.
Oh, wow. How much?
100 hours.
I have 200 hours on a game. 300 hours than the next game I have on.
I love that game because you can get like 100 hours in and still suck. And just be terrible. I'm terrible.
For the price of that game, 200 playtime, the value is astronomical.
Yeah, it's like pennies per per hour there of entertainment. It's a deal.
Screw arcades. No, that is good. All right, and
a what?
So, any card games, board games? I mean, it doesn't have to be a computer game.
Well, I mean, so for the record, I'm a PhD student, so I'm working on video games. I'm a PhD student working on my thesis, so I don't get a ton of time. So I recently, over winter break, picked up and beat twice the 2012 XCOM. That's the last game I played.
You beat that twice?
I played it once on regular, and then I played it once on Iron Man.
I've never beaten that game even once.
Oh my god, it was awful. Yeah, well, even making fun of me for not beating Star Fox correctly.
You've beaten it, but not correctly.
Not correctly. But, I beat it once on regular, and then I immediately picked it back up and played it on Iron Man, which was awesomely harder than the first time around. That was pretty much like the last game. Oh, I recently re-picked up Star Wars Rebellion, which was not really, it was sort of like a pseudo real-time, but it was really turn-based strategy game from like early 90s. And the first thing when I re-picked it up and started playing was they have this building system, but it doesn't have a queue. And I was like, why the fuck didn't they have... why didn't they have build queues, right? And, that was messed up. I was like, this is a problem. But then I realized the game is from the early 90s, and no one was probably thinking about build
queues. Is that the first F-bomb of the night?
Yeah. We also swear like sailors.
Yeah,
Holy crap, that was the first one.
He actually dropped the first F-bomb tonight.
Oh, damn.
Congratulations.
Still... makes us PG-13.
We're sometimes appropriate when we have guests on, but
here,
more often
but
than
generally
not.
We're
not correct.
Oh, bleep that out. Bleep that out.
we gave up on that a few years
ago. We have another whiskey here, and we're going to see where this goes.
We gave that up, but it turns out PG-13 rules are you're allowed one F-bomb.
Okay, so we're good.
And boob, but no nipple. I can show boob, but no nipple.
I assume that was just like what people said.
I don't know. We went to adult rated a while ago. Just
no!
Oh, no!
Ben showed nipple.
No boob, but
no nipple.
You have two on the other one.
You have two.
Ah, it's a male nipple, though, on that side.
It barely counts.
Okay. So, for my game, It's weird because, nice again, transition. It's been, the game has been recently picked up to be redistributed now by Fantasy Flight, but it was an indie game when I had it. It's called Skulls. Ooh, or okay. Skull. And
sounds like a dice game.
It's a card game. It's very.
I do know a card game called Skulls. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty simple. Basically, long story short, is you're trying to bluff other people. And you can play it with a regular deck of cards. It's really nice, really simple. If you look up the rules online, you want to give it a try, you can play it just with a regular deck of cards.
So I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but when I picked up Skulls as a you know, like a tabletop game, I heard that that Skulls was originally designed as, or originally conceived as, like a biker game for bars, so they used to play with coasters.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you get like 5 coasters from a bar, so me and my girlfriend actually go around and we steal coasters from bars to make our own set of like rad, you know.
That's really bar cool.
Coaster games. Yeah, I mean, Skulls is a great game.
Yeah,
I mean,
so much fun. It's a really cheap game if you buy it. And again, yeah, the cards look like coasters. Again, that would make sense if it was like a bar game.
I like the idea of stealing coasters.
The general purpose is basically you have to everybody puts down a card, if you will, at the beginning of a match, and it's either a skull or a flower. Yes. And so what'll happen is everybody gets a chance to either add to their piles. Or they can start a betting process saying, I can find X amount of flowers. And then it goes around and everybody gets a chance to bet more and more. And then whoever bets the most actually starts revealing cards. They start with their own pile and then they start working their way through other people's piles. If they ever hit a skull before they hit that X amount, they like lose a card from their hand. Otherwise, if you get, you know, you say, hey, I can find 4 flowers, and you find 4 flowers, then you get a point, and that's a round for you. So right, it's
you gotta get 2 points to win.
Yep.
Are you saying that you're like, so if I say, hey, I can find 4 flowers,
somebody else can bet 5.
Am I taking like old maid style from everybody else's?
So you start with your own pile, and you have to reveal the whole pile of your own. So you can put a skull in there, and you can blow yourself up. Otherwise, yeah, you can try to like bluff. Basically, you can try to bluff and try to get people to search through your pile. Like, oh, I'm trying. This guy's trying to find 3 flowers, and he bet I'm gonna start revealing his. So, but sometimes that backfires.
So this coaster will be upside down.
Yeah. So people can't see. But after you make it through your own pile, you can pick one at a time from other people's piles.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, you try to just find the amount.
When's
that you,
the stopping
you
point though? When you
find whatever you bet.
You find the balance, you either find what you or you find the opposites.
Skull. So yeah, again, whoever bets the highest amount flower wise gets to search that round. So say you have 5 flowers. You reveal your whole stack. Say you had 3 and you had 3 flowers. You have to find 2 more from everybody else's stack.
It's also like Russian roulette. So yeah. I say 2 and the turn passes to you and you decide, like, you can either say 3 or you can bow out and the next person will say 4 and
somebody else diddy mouth.
Until you get to that person that's like, okay, no more. Once everyone bows out, you could be at 7.
Yeah.
And you have to pick 7 cards and I gotta tell you, like when you're going through 7, it's 10.
Do you have to pick in the same order? Like
no,
okay. I can pick
you only have to go
4
through your
cards
pile first.
From you can I can do my cards.
But then you can pick 1 from somebody, 2 from somebody else.
I can go 2 from you, and 1 from you, none from you, because you're going to screw me every
single time. A stack of skulls.
But it's a really good game. Kind of like, you know, it's got that social element to it, where you're trying to bluff and deceive. It's fun. And again, it's very simple. You can use it, again, play it with a regular deck of cards. You pick it up in a few minutes. Once you play like 2 rounds, everybody gets the hang of it. It's a lot of fun.
I'm guessing you somehow determine what is a flower versus a skull.
Yeah, you usually use like numbered cards. If you're going to play with a standard deck of cards, you usually use numbered cards for the flowers and faces for the skulls.
Or if you have the cool kit he has there.
Yeah, and
it's
like
$25. I've ever seen.
Yeah, like,
It's got the Dela de los Muertos kind of.
I looked at that.
Yeah, there are production boxes, there are like 2 different boxes that have like very different art styles. And so you have your 4 coasters and you have 3 of them have a printed flower on them and 1 of them has a skull. And that's the deck that you're playing with against 5 other people. And then I'm stealing coasters so I can play like 6 and 8 and whatnot. So.
that's a really cool idea.
I like that idea.
That's a very, very
cool
idea.
Yeah, we're going to have to
I have seen the sort of Dia Morte version of this.
Yeah, and that's really cool. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, so a buddy of mine, he was moving to, he has like a huge game collection, and he was moving to France or Switzerland or something. And he had to, his wife was like, no, you have to like get rid of all of your, you know, like at least most of your games because we're not shipping them to Europe. And so he auctioned off all of his games, and he was auctioning off some of the Skulls games, and I bought, you know, like I went for that one version of Skulls, and I was, unfortunately, I learned that it wasn't the Dia de la Muerte art style of Skulls. It was the other version, which I don't like as much. But so
what is
if
that
someone's going to go out and buy the Skulls version, I highly recommend that version.
Yeah, and the main reason I heard about it is I've got a friend who works for Fantasy Flight, and I've now picked up distribution for that one. So now Fantasy Flight's going to be selling that one. But again, it's only still like $25. It's very cheap. So.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I picked it up at like a board game cafe here in Maryland, and it was significantly more expensive. Well, that's what they sell for anyway. I think they sell it here for like $40 retail. That's kind of silly, considering I'm stealing coasters to play.
That's a way better version of the card in my game that's probably never going to come out, where I came up with this game about collecting stuff. Collecting video games and stuff, and one of the sort of event cards is wife tells you you got to get rid of something.
Yeah. That's never good.
All right. That's life.
So Rob, how about you? What did it get you?
Well, I have been playing Tumbleweed Express, obviously.
Obviously, seeing as we were going to talk to him, so
you've never heard of this.
So yeah, if you haven't heard of this game,
yeah, it's
it was going to be mine. So go ahead and you go ahead.
Rewind
and fill it in.
The episode and then hear all about it.
No.
Oh, you finally pulled your key in, huh?
Well, I did. Yeah, I did. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, been having fun with that. I'm, you know, dealing with some new mechanics, so.
But the mechanics aren't all that different from the version we looked at before.
No, they've just added more depth than new
right.
Which it took me a few minutes to come to grasp.
Yeah, well, grasp because they're old and slow.
Yeah, we are old and slow. But that's
because
okay.
I'm old and
they
slow.
They forgot beers earlier.
Yeah, I'll be doing another video on that on my station.
I think Tumbleweed Express is better on a few beers myself. Like,
oh, no, not for me, it's not. Choice. Trust me. I find I play a little bit better when I'm sober.
You might get some res level focus.
No, I don't.
No, that res thing was a one-time deal. You were, like, on the floor, sideways, playing res like a champion.
But, so that's what you've been playing as far as...
I've been playing that, and I've been playing another game that we gave away a bunch of keys for recently. Was TikTok Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah. That's another,
and that is bizarre.
I still haven't gotten a chance to get in that one yet, though.
Haven't played that one yet?
No, I need to. So, no, I,
what that one's what
I've
that one about?
I've been playing Tumbleweed Express.
That one is, it's a first-person shooter, but it's time-based. So, time's only moving when you're moving.
Oh, kind of like...
It's really bizarre. I got, yeah.
Super
yeah, like
that, that's it. That's what
yeah,
I was
and I get that. Somebody on my station commented about that. They said like, "Hey, you're the only one who didn't mention Super Hot," and I said, "I didn't play it." It's one of the few. They didn't give me a free copy, the assholes.
Well,
so
that's why
you
didn't.
Yeah.
Now we're in the rated R zone.
Yeah,
now we are.
But no,
might as well get your nipples out. Yeah!
Oh!
Woo!
No!
Wow, you had to tell
and we're hard R already. I mean, oh, I am. Wait, no.
Stop.
For the love of God.
Soft R.
For the love of God.
I'm sure this is a regular occurrence.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
They all know the whole anatomy.
All right. So, Rob, I think we should wrap this up while we still, before he
anatomy.
Takes his shirt off again.
Yeah, all right.
Before we get completely belligerent.
Correct. So, one more time, gentlemen, where can they find out more about
Tumbleweed Express?
Yeah, I know.
You can complete sentences, come on.
No, I gave them the feet so they could say it.
Yeah, but you didn't prep it to
Steam,
them.
And you type in Tumbleweed Express into the search menu.
Or you click on the link under the video on YouTube or...
Yeah, if you look for us on Google, I believe there is another company competing for the name Tumbleweed Express, and it's an actual truck delivery company.
Yes.
I saw that too. That's funny.
No.
Those jerks.
All right. Well, if you follow the links we have on our website, they will take you to the proper
and under
website.
This week's podcast, because let's face it, most people just want to listen to us. They don't want to see
I know. It. For Tumbleweed and Fist, we'll have the links on our podcast and on our website and on our Facebook page. Definitely check these guys out. Wow, really
fucking Sarlacc.
Now, what the hell was that? Just go with the bass.
Praise the old ones.
Go with the bass.
We should have drinking rules for the show.
We like really should.
Someone exposes themselves.
Hey, I think all these rules apply to me.
We do have a drinking rule.
We used to have it's penalty shots. And that didn't go really
yeah,
well.
That never ended well.
We got
all right. So besides finding Tumbleweed Express on Steam, you can find them by the Facebook page. What about us, Rob?
Where can you find us? Let me tell you. The first thing I'm going to do is we do have one general announcement, a shout out. We want to give a special shout out to our friend Scott Dyer over at GameCentric TV.
I like that guy.
Yay, Scott!
Hi, Scott!
Caught...
Hi,
Scott! Scott, you need to start feeling better.
Who does way better videos than us?
Yeah, he does.
Woo! He's got sweet equipment.
Who unfortunately has really caught a really virulent form of
VD.
Syphilis. And so we all want to say sorry about your syphilis, Scott.
Get better, penicillin!
Yeah, if that'll even clear that up. I mean, that's.
I think they make cards for that. Sorry about your syphilis.
Hallmark
okay,
is
so
a whole
everybody, send GameCentric TV, attention Scott, sorry about your syphilis cards.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. He'd love that. He needs the love right now. Also, you can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Of course, we have free game giveaways over on Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, every freaking Friday, except for last Friday. That's because I was really drunk.
He's actually doing his
job
for one day.
We might do two. You know,
this Friday? All right.
Last Friday, I was a mess.
Rob's not gonna lie. He actually did his job for one day. So
yeah, that sucked. That's ridiculous. I don't get paid to do my job. But anyway, all
right.
that's funny. On Twitch, it's at Guys Games Beer.
Tell you what, because we were talking about indie games tonight, tomorrow we'll be giving away an indie game on our Twitch account. I'm sorry, our Twitter account, not a Twitch account. Sorry about that. Our Twitter account. Look tomorrow for an indie game. Don't know what it's gonna be yet, but I will find a good.
We need
indie
to get
game
a wheel, like a
the
prize
wheel. Indie?
Yeah, oh, that would be so fun. That we would be spinning and doing it on air.
That'd be nice. Actually, we'll do that.
We could offer up a few copies, Matt, of Tumbleweed Express for a giveaway.
Oh, say it online, jeez.
I will.
Oh, you just did. Now you're kind of
welcome.
Committed. So wait a minute. So Rob screwed up and didn't give away a game last Friday. So if you guys want to give away maybe two copies this Friday, Rob could make up for his frickin' mistake last Friday.
What, actually give away a good game?
And actually give away a good game for once.
Yeah, we'll send two more keys.
Ooh! For those of you watching this on Thursday, tomorrow on our Facebook page, there will be two free copies of
Tumbleweed
Express.
Good time. Good
perfect.
Time dilation.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Ooh.
Except for you guys on Twitch.
Yeah.
It's gonna
but,
be Friday.
But you guys on Twitter, we'll be giving away an indie game tomorrow as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. We still wonder why you do. we really do.
Yeah. All right. Take us out, Rob.
All right. See you guys next week.
Special thanks to our guest. Dirigiballers.
For being awesome.
For being as awesome as ever.
Don't forget, next week we will be on Twitch again at 6 o'clock. CST, come abuse us online. Fortunately, there were no penis pics this
really?
Week.
No, there were no penis pics this week.
Only nymphs this week.
Don't tempt them. They'll do it. No, stop.
Wait. We'll be on next Tuesday? We won't.
We will be on next Tuesday. It will be.
There's a
it
special.
Will be Mac Night. Oh, yeah, I should probably...
Better explain this. Hold on, wait. Larry just opened up a can of worms.
All right, so next week we're doing something unusual. Every year we record Mech Night, and we do it. Next week we're going to do something special because we do record Mech Night on an off night. We record it on a Saturday night as opposed to the usual week night. This coming week, we'll be doing a reaction video to our own video. But obviously in our own style. We're going to get drunk and watch us
being drunk.
We get
to do a peer review hammered?
Yes.
Of us being hammered?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So if any of you guys remember In a Mirror Darkly, which was...
Right.
The darkest Thailand episode of Mech Night. Yeah.
Right,
correct.
Exactly. Where
correct.
We actually ended up re-recording Mech Night because we were too
sad. We don't often re-redo things, but that was one time it was so bad that we had to redo it.
And we were so drunk.
So it's we're going to do the In a Mirror Darkly type of episode, but we're going to do it and we're going to watch it. Tuesday live on Twitch.
I'm gonna take some serious abuse on that episode because I won't be here.
Oh, even better.
I was counting on yes. Saturday, we're done.
No,
wait. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks again to Jamal.
Thank you.